May only his words be spoken, only his words heard.
Amen.
With Jesus, no fear, from our gospel lesson. Once I visited my middle son, Stanton, while he was an undergraduate at Vanderbilt University. And I saw something I had never seen before on any college campus. I saw these blue security boxes. And they were all over the campus. If you were wandering around campus at night and you felt that someone was following you or you felt uneasy in any way, you could hit the button in those blue security boxes and the campus security officers would come to your aid. This started my imagination of fear running amok. And you know how things never go as they're supposed to go. They never go right. Right? So you run to the security box and you see on it a sign that says, out of order. The person stalking you is getting closer. Every second they're getting closer. So you run to the next box and it has a sign on it. And the sign reads, it's not your night. You're even more terrified as the stranger is now just feet away from you. And you run to the next box, and incredibly, it has this sign with big letters saying, keep on running. I've been doing a lot of thinking about fear lately. I have to admit, as I've grown older, my fears seem to be more prevalent. I thought they'd be less. So this message has me in mind as much as it has all of you. I could throw out a few platitudes, quote a few verses from Scripture, and just tell you, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to be fearful. But just how do we overcome them? How do we become less fearful? Before we go any further, I have to say what many of you know. Satan skillfully uses fear as a way to separate us from Jesus, from God, and from our faith. Abraham is given some great promises. He has promised a land. He has promised that he will have many, many, many descendants. He's promised that anyone who blesses him will be blessed. Anybody who curses him will be cursed. And yet, not soon after receiving all these promises, there was a drought in the land, and he heads to Egypt, and he pretends that his wife is his sister out of fear. Elijah wins a great contest against the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And yet it only takes one Queen Jezebel to threaten him, and he is running for his life for fear. Peter said he would never deny Jesus, never desert him. Even if all the other disciples did so, he would not do it. And yet when he follows the arrested Jesus right into the courtyard, it only took two servant girls and a few others to make him shiver with fear and absolutely reject having ever known Jesus. Satan was there each time. His strategy is simple. Get people's eyes off of Jesus, off of God, even perhaps deny his existence. Make them focus on their own safety. In fact, make safety one of the most important goals of their entire life. You know, fears are like rust to steel. It has a corrosive effect. It eats away at your faith and your trust in God. Fears tell you that you better do something. Your eyes shift from the one who is over all things to yourself. And your fears compound. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission, to be our substitute, to sacrifice his life, and thereby winning us forgiveness and eternal life. Now, some Pharisees warned him, "Herod is out to kill you." Were they sincere? Were they trying to be helpful? Or, as I believe, was Satan behind these words? Cause Jesus to fear. Cause him to think about his safety. Cause him not to think of himself as Messiah. Herod Antipas was a fox, a crafty political ruler who managed to please the Romans and to control the local population. He balanced it. He managed these two competing groups. He was in a long list of despotic rulers who thought they deserved to wield great power because they were great. This is the same Herod who had John the Baptist beheaded. John dared to confront Herod about his adultery. You see, what Herod had done was he had taken his brother's wife and married her. Herod never understood how to deal with fearless men like John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. How does Jesus answer this dire threat? Serenely. Serenely. "Tell Herod, I'm going to drive out demons today, tomorrow, and the next day, and I am definitely going to Jerusalem." Jesus was on a mission from God. And serenity was the hallmark. It was his X factor. I want to have that serenity. I really do. To be like Jesus, to have a bedrock faith. All of us who call Jesus Lord are on a mission from God. But fears can overcome our life and wreck it. How many times did Jesus say to his disciples, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid"? Yet how? Don't you ask that with me? How? First, I think we need to overcome our irrational fears. Do you have any irrational fears? I mean, fears that make no sense at all? I think a lot of us do. For example, neuroscientist Richard Restack notes the odds are 94,900,000 to one that you will be bit by a shark. The odds of drowning are much worse, 225,000 to one. In other words, it's hundreds of times more likely that you will drown when you go to the beach than be bit by a snake. However, when you go to the beach, what are you worried about? Sharks. Ever since the movie, I've been, you know. Anxieties and fears are a common affliction in our day. We take medication. We see psychiatrists and psychologists. And I'm here to tell you there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All I'm asking is there another way? A man went to a psychiatrist. "I've got trouble," he said. "Every time I get into bed, I think somebody's under it." And when I get under the bed, I think somebody's on top of it. All night long, I'm looking under the bed or vice versa. I mean, it's awful. You got to help me. I think I'm going crazy. Just put yourself in my hands for 2 years, said the psychiatrist. Come to me 3 times a week, and I guarantee you, I will cure you of your fears. How much do you charge? The man asked. $100 a visit. The man said, I'll sleep on it. 6 months later, the psychiatrist met the same man on the street and asked, why didn't you ever come see me again? And the man said, for $100 a visit? Hey, my best friend cured me for nothing. The psychiatrist said, is that so? How did he cure you? Simple. He cut the legs off my bed. That's genius, don't you think? Yeah. Silly. I know this story is silly, but so are many of our fears. And here is the point. God invites us to analyze our fears in light of His Word. Come to see them as they really are. Satan can use these irrational fears to cause chaos in our life. He wants to distract you. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to throw you off. He wants your eyes off of Jesus. But Jesus defeated Satan. He did. So we can, in Christ and in His Word, defeat these irrational fears. We can. Okay, Pastor, but what about the real fears? The real things that happen and can happen in our life. Not irrational ones. Now, Pastor Tony Evans tells a wonderful story about one of the Superman movies. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Superman. In this particular movie, Superman saves a man from a burning building. He rescues him from the top floor, carrying him to safety, flying through the clouds. The man looks at Superman and then looks down at the ground. I'm scared, Superman, he says. Look how far down it is. You're not going to drop me. At this point, Superman gives a great answer. It's the answer of faith. Superman says, now, if I delivered you from the burning fire, what makes you think I'm going to drop you when I'm carrying you to safety? Here's the thing. We can wrestle with this. We say we believe in Jesus, but could it be that we don't believe Jesus? We believe in Jesus, but do we believe Jesus? Jesus said, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from my Father's will. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. I can't hear these words too often. I can't meditate on them enough. I believe them. I believe Jesus. I believe His words. Yes, I believe in Jesus too, but I believe Jesus. Jesus said people would hate us because of Him. He said we would have troubles, fears, life-threatening troubles. But the worst that can happen is not that we're murdered. but that we lose faith in Jesus and that we disbelieve his words. That's the worst that can happen. When I am most afraid, I will put my trust in God. In God whose word I praise. In God I put my trust, fearing nothing. What can men do to me? Psalm 56. Good verse to memorize. Focus on Jesus, listen to Jesus, believe Jesus. Through the Spirit, Jesus promises to be with us always. Jesus said this, speaking to his disciples, "Someday you will realize that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you." The main reason we worship God week after week is so that we do not forget that we have a big God and he's right here with us. He's right here with us. We don't have to be afraid. Here's my conclusion to all this, and I think it's an important point. My conclusion in all this is that we're in spiritual warfare every day. Yes, if your fears are more prevalent, I think it is perhaps because you are striving to be bolder. Every time we pop our heads out of the trenches, we see the tracers going by. We're being shot at by Satan. Your fears may be irrational. They may be real. You're in a war. But who is right beside you? Jesus is. He is telling you, he is telling us. Two short words. Let's move. Because you too are on a mission from God. In the name of Jesus and to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.